This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Prediction Machines, The Simple Economics of Artificial Intelligence. Written by AJ Agrawal, Joshua Gans, and Avi Goldfarb. Performed by LJ Ganser.
Visual aids found in the print edition of this book are available to you as a downloadable PDF. To access this file, please click the link on the product page where you purchased this title. Thank you.
1. Introduction. Machine intelligence. If the following scenario doesn't already sound familiar, then it will soon. A kid is doing homework alone in another room. You hear a question. What's the capital of Delaware? The parent starts thinking, Baltimore, too obvious. Wilmington, not a capital. But before the thought is complete, a machine called Alexa says the correct answer.
The capital of Delaware is Dover.
Alexa is Amazon's artificial intelligence, or AI, that interprets natural language and provides answers to questions at lightning speed. Alexa has replaced the parent as the all-knowing source of information in the eyes of a child. AI is everywhere. It's on our phones, cars, shopping experiences, romantic matchmaking, hospitals, banks, and all over the media. No wonder corporate directors, CEOs, vice presidents, managers, team leaders, entrepreneurs, investors, coaches, and policymakers are anxiously racing to learn about AI. They all realize it is about to fundamentally change their businesses. The three of us have observed the advances in AI from a distinctive vantage point. We are economists who built our careers studying the last great technology revolution, the Internet. During years of research, we learned how to cut through the hype to focus on what technology means for decision makers. We also built the Creative Destruction Lab, CDL, a seed stage program that increases the probability of success for science-based startups. Initially, the CDL was open to all kinds of startups, but by 2015, many of the most exciting ventures were AI-enabled companies. As of September 2017, the CDL had, for the third year in a row, the greatest concentration of AI startups of any program on Earth. As a result, many leaders in the field regularly travel to Toronto to participate in the CDL. For example, one of the primary inventors of the AI engine that powers Amazon's Alexa, William Tunstall Peddo, flew to Toronto every 8 weeks from Cambridge, England, to join us throughout the duration of the program. So did San Francisco-based Barney Pell, who previously led an 85-person team at NASA that flew the first AI in deep space. The CDL's dominance in this domain resulted partly from our location in Toronto, where many of the core inventions, in a field called machine learning, that drove the recent interest in AI were seeded and nurtured. Experts who were previously based in the computer science department at the University of Toronto today had several of the world's leading industrial AI teams, including those at Facebook, Apple, and Elon Musk's OpenAI. Being so close to so many applications of AI forced us to focus on how this technology affects business strategy. As we'll explain, AI is a prediction technology. Predictions are inputs to decision-making, and economics provides a perfect framework for understanding the trade-offs underlying any decision. So, by dint of luck and some design, we found ourselves at the right place at the right time to form a bridge between the technologist and the business practitioner. The result is this book. Our first key insight is that the new wave of artificial intelligence does not actually bring us intelligence, but instead a critical component of intelligence, prediction. What Alexa was doing when the child asked a question was taking the sounds it heard and predicting the words the child spoke, and then predicting what information the words were looking for. Alexa doesn't know the capital of Delaware, but Alexa is able to predict that when people ask such a question, they are looking for a specific response. Dover. Each startup in our lab is predicated on exploiting the benefits of better prediction. Deep genomics improves the practice of medicine by predicting what will happen in a cell when DNA is altered. Chisel improves the practice of law by predicting which parts of a document to redact. Validair improves the efficiency of oil custody transfer by predicting the water content of incoming crude. These applications are a microcosm of what most businesses will be doing in the near future. If you're lost in the fog, trying to figure out what AI means for you, then we can help you understand the implications of AI and navigate through the advances in this technology, even if you've never programmed a convolutional neural network or studied Bayesian statistics. If you are a business leader, we provide you with an understanding of AI's impact on management and decisions. If you are a student or recent graduate, we give you a framework for thinking about the evolution of jobs and the careers of the future. If you are a financial analyst or venture capitalist, we offer a structure around which you can develop your investment theses. If you are a policymaker, we give you guidelines for understanding how AI is likely to change society and how policy might shape those changes for the better. Economics provides a well-established foundation for understanding uncertainty and what it means for decision-making. As better prediction reduces uncertainty, we use economics to tell you what AI means for the decisions you make in the course of your business. This, in turn, provides insight into which AI tools are likely to deliver the highest return on investment for the workflows inside your business. This then leads to a framework for designing business strategies, such as how you might rethink the scale and scope of your business to exploit the new economic realities predicated on cheap prediction. Finally, we lay out the major trade-offs associated with AI on jobs, on the concentration of corporate power, on privacy, and on geopolitics. What predictions are important for your business? How will further advances in AI change the predictions you rely on? How will your industry redesign jobs in response to advances in prediction technology, just as industries reconfigured jobs with the rise of the personal computer and then of the internet? AI is new and still poorly understood, but the economics toolkit for evaluating the implications of a drop in the cost of prediction is rock solid. Although the examples we use will surely become dated, the framework in this book will not. The insights will continue to apply as the technology improves and predictions become more accurate and complex. Prediction machines is not a recipe for success in the AI economy. Instead, we emphasize trade-offs. More data means less privacy. More speed means less accuracy. More autonomy means less control. We don't prescribe the best strategy for your business. That's your job. The best strategy for your company or career or country will depend on how you weigh each side of every trade-off. This book gives you a structure for identifying the key trade-offs and how to evaluate the pros and cons in order to reach the best decision for you. Of course, even with our framework in hand, you will find that things are changing rapidly. You will need to make decisions without full information, but doing so will often be better than inaction. Key points. The current wave of advances in artificial intelligence doesn't actually bring us intelligence, but instead a critical component of intelligence, prediction. Prediction is a central input into decision-making. Economics has a well-developed framework for understanding decision-making. The new and poorly understood implications of advances in prediction technology can be combined with the old and well-understood logic of decision theory from economics to deliver a series of insights to help navigate your organization's approach to AI. There is often no single right answer to the question of which is the best AI strategy or best set of AI tools, because AIs involve trade-offs. More speed, less accuracy. More autonomy, less control. More data, less privacy. We provide you with a method for identifying the trade-offs associated with each AI-related decision so that you can evaluate both sides of every trade in light of your organization's mission and objectives, and then make the decision that is best for you. 2. Cheap changes everything. Everyone has had, or will soon have, an AI moment. We are accustomed to a media saturated with stories of new technologies that will change our lives. While some of us are technophiles and celebrate the possibilities of the future, and others are technophobes who mourn the passing of the good old days, almost all of us are so used to the constant drumbeat of technology news that we numbly recite that the only thing immune to change is change itself. Until we have our AI moment. Then we realize that this technology is different. Some computer scientists experienced their AI moment in 2012, when a student team from the University of Toronto delivered such an impressive win in the visual object recognition competition ImageNet that the following year, all top finalists used the then-novel deep learning approach to compete. Object recognition is more than just a game. It enables machines to see. Some technology CEOs experienced their AI moment when they read the headline in January 2014 that Google had just paid more than $600 million to acquire UK-based DeepMind, even though the startup had generated negligible revenue relative to the purchase price, but had demonstrated that its AI had learned, on its own, without being programmed, to play certain Atari video games with superhuman performance. Some regular citizens experienced their AI moment later that year when renowned physicist Stephen Hawking emphatically explained, "Everything that civilization has to offer is a product of human intelligence. Success in creating AI would be the biggest event in human history." Others experienced their AI moment the first time they took their hands off the wheel of a speeding Tesla, navigating traffic using autopilot AI. The Chinese government experienced its AI moment when it witnessed DeepMind's AI, AlphaGo, beating Lee Sedol, a South Korean master of the board game Go, and then later that year beating the world's top-ranked player, KG of China. The New York Times described this game as China's Sputnik moment. Just as massive American investment in science followed the Soviet Union's launch of Sputnik, China responded to this event with a national strategy to dominate the AI world by 2030, and a financial commitment to make that claim plausible. Our own AI moment came in 2012. When a trickle and then a surge in the number of early-stage AI companies employing state-of-the-art machine learning techniques applied to the CDL. The applications spanned industries, drug discovery, customer service, manufacturing, quality assurance, retail, medical devices. The technology was both powerful and general purpose, creating significant value across a wide range of applications. We set to work understanding what it meant in economics terms. We knew that AI would be subject to the same economics as any other technology. The technology itself is, simply put, amazing. Early on, famed venture capitalist Steve Jurvetson quipped, "Just about any product that you experience in the next 5 years that seems like magic will almost certainly be built by these algorithms." Jurvetson's characterization of AI as magical resonated with the popular narrative of AI in films like 2001, A Space Odyssey, Star Wars, Blade Runner, and more recently, Her, Transcendence, and Ex Machina. We understand and sympathize with Jurvetson's characterization of AI applications as magical. As economists, our job is to take seemingly magical ideas and make them simple, clear, and practical. Cutting through the hype. Economists view the world differently than most people. We see everything through a framework governed by forces such as supply and demand, production and consumption, prices and costs. Although economists often disagree with each other, we do so in the context of a common framework. We argue about assumptions and interpretations, but not about fundamental concepts, like the roles of scarcity and competition in setting prices. This approach to viewing the world gives us a unique vantage point. On the negative side, our viewpoint is dry and doesn't make us popular at dinner parties. On the positive side, it provides a useful clarity for informing business decisions. Let's start with the basics. Prices. When the price of something falls, we use more of it. That's simple economics and is happening right now with AI. AI is everywhere, packed into your phone's apps, optimizing your electricity grids, and replacing your stock portfolio managers. Soon, it may be driving you around or flying packages to your house. If economists are good at one thing, it is cutting through hype. Where others see transformational new innovation, we see a simple fall in price. But it is more than that. To understand how AI will affect your organization, you need to know precisely what price has changed and how that price change will cascade throughout the broader economy. Only then can you build a plan of action. Economic history has taught us that the impact of major innovations is often felt in the most unexpected places. Consider the story of the commercial internet in 1995. While most of us were watching Seinfeld, Microsoft released Windows 95, its first multitasking operating system. That same year, the U.S. government removed the final restrictions to carrying commercial traffic on the internet, and Netscape, the browser's inventor, celebrated the first major initial public offering, IPO, of the commercial internet. This marked an inflection point when the internet transitioned from a technological curiosity to a commercial tidal wave that would wash over the economy. Netscape's IPO valued the company at more than $3 billion, even though it had not generated any significant profit. Venture capital investors valued startups in the millions, even as they were, and this was a new term, pre-revenue. Freshly minted MBA graduates turned down lucrative traditional jobs to prospect on the web. As the effects of the internet began to spread across industries and up and down the value chain, technology advocates stopped referring to the internet as a new technology and began referring to it as the new economy. The term caught on. The internet transcended the technology and permeated human activity at a fundamental level. Politicians, corporate executives, investors, entrepreneurs, and major news organizations started using the term. Everyone began referring to the new economy. Everyone, that is, except economists. We did not see a new economy or a new economics. To economists, this looked like the regular old economy. To be sure, some important changes had occurred. Goods and services could be distributed digitally. Communication was easy, and you could find information with the click of a search button. But you could do all of these things before. What had changed was that you could now do them cheaply. The rise of the internet was a drop in the cost of distribution, communication, and search. Reframing a technological advance as a shift from expensive to cheap or from scarce to abundant is invaluable for thinking about how it will affect your business. For instance, if you recall the first time you used Google, you may remember being mesmerized by the seemingly magical ability to access information. From the economist perspective, Google made search cheap. When search became cheap, companies that made money selling search through other means, for example, the Yellow Pages, travel agents, classifieds, found themselves in a competitive crisis. At the same time, companies that relied on people finding them, for example, self-publishing authors, sellers of obscure collectibles, homegrown movie makers, prospered. This change in the relative costs of certain activities radically influenced some companies' business models and even transformed some industries. However, economic laws did not change. We could still understand everything in terms of supply and demand, and could set strategy, inform policy, and anticipate the future using off-the-shelf economic principles. Cheap means everywhere. When the price of something fundamental drops drastically, the whole world can change. Consider light. Chances are you are reading this book under some kind of artificial light. Moreover, you probably never thought about whether using artificial light for reading was worth it. Light is so cheap that you use it with abandon. But, as the economist William Nordhaus meticulously explored, In the early 1800s, it would have cost you 400 times what you are paying now for the same amount of light. At that price, you would notice the cost and would think twice before using artificial light to read this book. The subsequent drop in the price of light lit up the world. Not only did it turn night into day, but it allowed us to live and work in big buildings that natural light could not penetrate. Virtually nothing we have today would be possible had the cost of artificial light not collapsed to almost nothing. Technological change makes things cheap that were once expensive. The cost of light fell so much that it changed our behavior from thinking about whether we should use it to not thinking for even a second before flipping on a light switch. Such significant price drops create opportunities to do things we've never done. It can make the impossible possible. So, economists are unsurprisingly obsessed with the implications of massive price drops in foundational inputs, like light. Some of the impacts from producing cheaper light were easy to imagine, and others less so. What might be affected when a new technology makes something cheap is not always precisely obvious. Whether the technology is artificial light, steam power, the automobile, or computing. Tim Bresnahan, a Stanford economist and one of our mentors, pointed out that computers do arithmetic and nothing more. The advent and commercialization of computers made arithmetic cheap. When arithmetic became cheap, not only did we use more of it for traditional applications of arithmetic, but we also used the newly cheap arithmetic for applications that were not traditionally associated with arithmetic, like music. Heralded as the first computer programmer, Ada Lovelace was the first to see this potential. Working under very expensive light in the early 1800s, she wrote the earliest recorded program to compute a series of numbers, called Bernoulli numbers, on a still theoretical computer that Charles Babbage designed. Babbage was also an economist, and as we will see in this book, that was not the only time economics and computer science intersected. Lovelace understood that arithmetic could, to use modern startup lingo, scale and enable so much more. She realized that applications of computers were not limited to mathematical operations. Supposing, for instance, that the fundamental relations of pitched sounds in the science of harmony and of musical composition were susceptible of such expression and adaptations, the engine might compose elaborate and scientific pieces of music of any degree of complexity. No computer had been invented yet, but Lovelace saw that an arithmetic machine could store and replay music, a form that defined art and humanity. That is precisely what happened. When, a century and a half later, the cost of arithmetic fell low enough, there were thousands of applications for arithmetic that most had never dreamed of. Arithmetic was such an important input into so many things that, when it became cheap, just as light had before, it changed the world. Reducing something to pure cost terms has a way of cutting through hype, although it does not help make the latest and greatest technology seem exciting. You'd never have seen Steve Jobs announce a new adding machine, even though that is all he ever did. By reducing the cost of something important, Jobs' new adding machines were transformative. That brings us to AI. AI will be economically significant precisely because it will make something important much cheaper. Right now, you may be thinking about intellect, reasoning, or thought itself. You might be imagining robots all over or non-corporeal beings, such as the friendly computers in Star Trek, letting you avoid the need to think. Lovelace had the same thought, but quickly dismissed it. At least insofar as a computer was concerned, she wrote, "It had no pretensions to originate anything. It can do whatever we know how to order it to perform. It can follow analysis, but it has no power of anticipating any analytical relations or truths." Despite all the hype and the baggage that comes with the notion of AI, what Alan Turing later called Lady Lovelace's objection still stands. Computers still cannot think, so thought isn't about to become cheap. However, what will be cheap is something so prevalent that, like arithmetic, You are probably not even aware of how ubiquitous it is, and how much a drop in its price could affect our lives and economy. What will new AI technologies make so cheap? Prediction. Therefore, as economics tells us, not only are we going to start using a lot more prediction, but we are going to see it emerge in surprising new places. Cheap creates value. Prediction is the process of filling in missing information. Prediction takes information you have, often called data, and uses it to generate information you don't have. Much discussion about AI emphasizes the variety of prediction techniques using increasingly obscure names and labels. Classification, clustering, regression, decision trees, Bayesian estimation, neural networks, topological data analysis, deep learning, reinforcement learning, deep reinforcement learning, capsule networks, and so on. The techniques are important for technologists interested in implementing AI for a particular prediction problem. In this book, we spare you the details of the mathematics behind the methods. We emphasize that each of these methods is about prediction, using information you have to generate information you don't have. We focus on helping you identify situations in which prediction will be valuable, and then on how to benefit as much as possible from that prediction. Cheaper prediction will mean more predictions. This is simple economics. When the cost of something falls, we do more of it. For example, as the computer industry began to take off in the 1960s, and the cost of arithmetic began to fall rapidly, we used more arithmetic in applications where it was already an input, such as the U.S. Census Bureau, the U.S. Department of Defense, and NASA, recently depicted in the film Hidden Figures. We later began to use the newly cheap arithmetic on problems that weren't traditionally arithmetic problems, such as photography. Whereas we once solved photography with chemistry, when arithmetic became cheap enough, we transitioned to an arithmetic-based solution. Digital cameras. A digital image is just a string of zeros and ones that can be reassembled into a viewable image using arithmetic. The same goes for prediction. Prediction is being used for traditional tasks like inventory management and demand forecasting. More significantly, because it is becoming cheaper, it is being used for problems that were not traditionally prediction problems. Catherine Howe of Integrate.ai calls the ability to see a problem and reframe it as a prediction problem, AI insight. And today, engineers all over the world are acquiring it. For example, we are transforming transportation into a prediction problem. Autonomous vehicles have existed in controlled environments for over two decades. They were limited, however, to places with detailed floor plans, such as factories and warehouses. The floor plans meant engineers could design their robots to maneuver with basic if-then logical intelligence. If a person walks in front of the vehicle, then stop. If the shelf is empty, then move to the next one. However, no one could use those vehicles on a regular city street. Too many things could happen. Too many ifs to possibly code. Autonomous vehicles could not function outside a highly predictable, controlled environment until engineers reframed navigation as a prediction problem. Instead of telling the machine what to do in each circumstance, engineers recognized they could instead focus on a single prediction problem. What would a human do? Now, companies are investing billions of dollars in training machines to drive autonomously in uncontrolled environments, even on city streets and highways. Imagine an AI sitting in the car with a human driver. The human drives for millions of miles, receiving data about the environment through their eyes and ears, processing that data with their human brain, and then acting in response to the incoming data. Drive straight or turn. Brake or accelerate. Engineers give the AI its own eyes and ears by outfitting the car with sensors, for example, cameras, radar, lasers. So, the AI observes the incoming data as the human drives and simultaneously observes the human's actions. When particular environmental data comes in, does the human turn right, brake, or accelerate? The more the AI observes the human, the better it becomes at predicting the specific action the driver will take, given the incoming environmental data. The AI learns to drive by predicting what a human driver would do, given specific road conditions. Critically, when an input such as prediction becomes cheap, this can enhance the value of other things. Economists call these complements. Just as a drop in the cost of coffee increases the value of sugar and cream, for autonomous vehicles, a drop in the cost of prediction increases the value of sensors to capture data on the vehicle's surroundings. For example, in 2017, Intel paid more than $15 billion for the Israeli startup Mobileye, primarily for its data collection technology that allows vehicles to effectively see objects, stop signs, people, etc., and markings, lanes, roads. When prediction is cheap, there will be more prediction and more complements to prediction. These two simple economic forces drive the new opportunities that prediction machines create. At low levels, a prediction machine can relieve humans of predictive tasks and so save on costs. As the machine cranks up, prediction can change and improve decision-making quality. But at some point, a prediction machine may become so accurate and reliable that it changes how an organization does things. Some AIs will affect the economics of a business so dramatically that they will no longer be used to simply enhance productivity in executing against the strategy. They will change the strategy itself. From cheap to strategy. The single most common question corporate executives ask us is, how will AI affect our business strategy? We use a thought experiment to answer that question. Most people are familiar with shopping at Amazon. As with most online retailers, you visit its website, shop for items, place them in your cart, pay for them, and then Amazon ships them to you. Right now, Amazon's business model is shopping, then shipping. During the shopping process, Amazon's AI offers suggestions of items that it predicts you will want to buy. The AI does a reasonable job. However, it is far from perfect. In our case, the AI accurately predicts what we want to buy about 5% of the time. We actually purchase about one of every 20 items it recommends. Considering the millions of items on offer, that's not bad. Imagine that the Amazon AI collects more information about us and uses that data to improve its predictions, an improvement akin to turning up the volume knob on a speaker dial. But rather than volume, it's turning up the AI's prediction accuracy. At some point, as it turns the knob, the AI's prediction accuracy crosses a threshold, changing Amazon's business model. The prediction becomes sufficiently accurate that it becomes more profitable for Amazon to ship you the goods that it predicts you will want, rather than wait for you to order them. With that, you won't need to go to other retailers, and the fact that the item is there may well nudge you to buy more. Amazon gains a higher share of wallet. Clearly, this is great for Amazon, but it is also great for you. Amazon ships before you shop, which, if all goes well, saves you the task of shopping entirely. Cranking up the prediction dial changes Amazon's business model from shopping then shipping to shipping then shopping. Of course, shoppers would not want to deal with the hassle of returning all the items they don't want. So, Amazon would invest in infrastructure for the product returns. Perhaps a fleet of delivery-style trucks that do pickups once a week, conveniently collecting items that customers don't want. If this is a better business model, then why hasn't Amazon done it already? Because if implemented today, the cost of collecting and handling returned items would outweigh the increase in revenue from a greater share of wallet. For example, today we would return 95% of the items it ships to us. That is annoying for us and costly for Amazon. The prediction isn't good enough for Amazon to adopt the new model. We can imagine a scenario where Amazon adopts the new strategy even before the prediction accuracy is good enough to make it profitable, because the company anticipates that at some point it will be profitable. By launching sooner, Amazon's AI will get more data sooner and improve faster. Amazon realizes that the sooner it starts, the harder it will be for competitors to catch up. Better predictions will attract more shoppers, More shoppers will generate more data to train the AI. More data will lead to better predictions and so on, creating a virtuous cycle. Adopting too early could be costly, but adopting too late could be fatal. Our point is not that Amazon will or should do this, although skeptical readers may be surprised to learn that Amazon obtained a U.S. patent for anticipatory shipping in 2013. Instead, the salient insight is that turning the prediction dial has a significant impact on strategy. In this example, it shifts Amazon's business model from shopping then shipping to shipping then shopping, generates the incentive to vertically integrate into operating a service for product returns, including a fleet of trucks, and accelerates the timing of investment. All this is due simply to turning up the dial on the prediction machine. What does this mean for strategy? First, you must invest in gathering intelligence on how fast and how far the dial on the prediction machines will turn for your sector and applications. Second, you must invest in developing a thesis about the strategic options created from turning the dial. To get started on this science fictioning exercise, close your eyes. Imagine putting your fingers on the dial of your prediction machine, and in the immortal words of Spinal Tap, turn it to 11. The plan for the book. You need to build foundations before the strategic implications of prediction machines for your organization become apparent. That is precisely how we structured this book, building a pyramid from the ground up. We lay the foundation in part one and explain how machine learning makes prediction better. We move to why these new advances are different from the statistics you learned in school, or that your analysts might already conduct. We then consider a key complement to prediction, data, especially the types of data required to make good predictions, and how to know whether you have it. Finally, we delve into when prediction machines perform better than humans, and when people and machines might work together for even better predictive accuracy. In part two, we describe the role of prediction as an input into decision-making, and explain the importance of another component that the AI community has so far neglected, judgment. Prediction facilitates decisions by reducing uncertainty, while judgment assigns value. In economists' parlance, judgment is the skill used to determine a payoff, utility, reward, or profit. The most significant implication of prediction machines is that they increase the value of judgment. Practical matters are the focus of part three. AI tools make prediction machines useful and are implementations of prediction machines designed to perform a specific task. We outline three steps that will help you figure out when building or buying an AI tool will generate the highest return on investment. Sometimes such tools slot neatly into an existing workflow. At other times, they motivate redesigning the workflow. Along the way, we introduce an important aid for specifying the key features of an AI tool, the AI canvas. We turn to strategy in part four. As we describe in our Amazon thought experiment, some AIs will have such a profound effect on the economics of a task that they will transform a business or industry. That's when AI becomes the cornerstone of an organization's strategy. AIs that have an impact on strategy shift the attention on AI from product managers and operations engineers to the C-suite. Sometimes it's hard to tell in advance when a tool will have such a powerful effect. For example, few people predicted, when they tried it for the first time, that the Google search tool would transform the media industry and become the basis of one of the most valuable companies on Earth. In addition to upside opportunities, AI poses systemic risks that may hit your business unless you take preemptory actions. Popular discussion seems to focus on the risks AI poses to humanity. But people pay much less attention to the dangers AI poses to organizations. For instance, some prediction machines trained on human-generated data have already learned treacherous biases and stereotypes. We end the book in part five by applying our economist's toolkit to questions that affect society more broadly, examining five of the most common AI debates. 1. Will there still be jobs? Yes. 2. Will this generate more inequality? Perhaps. 3. Will a few large companies control everything? It depends. 4. Will countries engage in race-to-the-bottom policymaking and forfeit our privacy and security to give their domestic companies a competitive advantage? Some will. 5. Will the world end? You still have plenty of time to derive value from this book. Key points. Economics offers clear insights regarding the business implications of cheaper prediction. Prediction machines will be used for traditional prediction tasks, inventory and demand forecasting, and new problems like navigation and translation. The drop in the cost of prediction will impact the value of other things, increasing the value of complements, data, judgment, and action, and diminishing the value of substitutes, human prediction. Organizations can exploit prediction machines by adopting AI tools to assist with executing their current strategy. When those tools become powerful, they may motivate changing the strategy itself. For instance, if Amazon can predict what shoppers want, then they may move from a shop-then-ship model to a ship-then-shop model, bringing goods to homes before they are ordered. Such a shift will transform the organization. As a result of the new strategies that organizations pursue to take advantage of AI, we will be faced with a new set of trade-offs related to how AI will impact society. Our choices will depend on our needs and preferences, and will almost surely be different across different countries and cultures. We structured this book in 5 sections to reflect each layer of impact from AI, building from the foundations of prediction all the way up to the trade-offs for society. 1. Prediction. 2. Decision-making. 3. Tools. 4. Strategy. And 5. Society. Part 1. Prediction. 3. Prediction Machine Magic. What do Harry Potter, Snow White, and Macbeth have in common? These characters are all motivated by a prophecy, a prediction. Even in The Matrix, a film seemingly about intelligent machines, the human character's belief in predictions drives the plot. From religion to fairy tales, knowledge of the future is consequential. Predictions affect behavior. They influence decisions. The ancient Greeks revered their many oracles for an apparent ability to predict, sometimes in riddles that fooled the questioners. For example, King Croesus of Lydia was considering a risky assault on the Persian Empire. The king did not trust any particular oracle, so he decided to test each before asking for advice about attacking Persia. He sent messengers to each oracle. On the 100th day, the messengers were to ask the various oracles what Croesus was doing at that moment. The oracle at Delphi predicted most accurately, so the king asked for and trusted its prophecy. As in Croesus's case, predictions can be about the present. We predict whether a current credit card transaction is legitimate or fraudulent, whether a tumor in a medical image is malignant or benign, whether the person looking into the iPhone camera is the owner or not. Despite its Latin root verb, predicere, meaning to make known beforehand, our cultural understanding of prediction emphasizes the ability to see otherwise hidden information, whether in the past, present, or future. The crystal ball is perhaps the most familiar symbol of magical prediction. While we may associate crystal balls with fortune tellers predicting someone's future wealth or love life, in The Wizard of Oz, the crystal ball allowed Dorothy to see Auntie M in the present. This brings us to our definition of prediction. Prediction is the process of filling in missing information. Prediction takes information you have, often called data, and uses it to generate information you don't have. The magic of prediction. Several years ago, Avi, one of the authors, noticed a large unusual transaction in a Las Vegas casino on his credit card. He hadn't been in Las Vegas. He had only been there once a long time before. The losing bet of gambling doesn't appeal to his economist way of seeing the world. After an extensive conversation, his card provider reversed the transaction and replaced the card. Recently, a similar problem occurred. Someone had used Avi's credit card for a purchase. This time, Avi didn't see it on his statement and didn't have to deal with the painstaking process of explaining it to a polite but firm customer service representative. Instead, he received a proactive call that his card had been compromised and that a new card was already in the mail. The credit card provider had accurately inferred, based on Avi's spending habits and a myriad of other available data, that the transaction was fraudulent. The credit card company was so confident that they did not even block his card for a few days while they carried out an investigation. Instead, like magic, the company sent a replacement without his having to do anything. Of course, the credit card provider did not have a crystal ball. It had data and a good predictive model. A prediction machine. Better prediction allowed it to reduce fraud, while as A.J. Bala, MasterCard's president of enterprise risk and security, put it, solving a major consumer pain point of being falsely declined. Business applications are well aligned with our definition of prediction as the process of filling in missing information. Credit card networks find it is useful to know whether a recent credit card transaction is fraudulent. The card network uses information about past fraudulent and non-fraudulent transactions to predict whether a particular recent transaction is fraudulent. If so, then the credit card provider can prevent future transactions on that card. And if the prediction is made quickly enough, then perhaps even the current one. This notion, taking information of one kind and turning it into information of another kind, is at the heart of one of AI's recent main achievements, language translation, a goal that has been around for all of human civilization, even enshrined in the millennia-old story of the Tower of Babel. Historically, the approach to automatic language translation was to hire a linguist, an expert on the rules of language, to exposit rules and translate them into a way they could be programmed. This is how, for instance, you might take a Spanish phrase and, beyond simply substituting word for word, understand that you need to swap the order of nouns and adjectives to make it a readable English sentence. The recent advances in AI, however, have enabled us to recast translation as a prediction problem. We can see the seemingly magical nature of the use of prediction for translation in the sudden change in the quality of Google's translation service. Ernest Hemingway's The Snows of Kilimanjaro begins beautifully. Kilimanjaro is a snow-covered mountain, 19,710 feet high, and is said to be the highest mountain in Africa. One day, in November 2016, in translating a Japanese version of Hemingway's classic short story into English via Google, Professor Jun Rekimoto, a computer scientist at the University of Tokyo, read, "Kilimanjaro is 19,710 feet of the mountain covered with snow, and it is said that the highest mountain in Africa." The next day, the Google translation read, "Kilimanjaro is a mountain of 19,710 feet covered with snow, and is said to be the highest mountain in Africa." The difference was stark. Overnight, the translation had gone from clearly automated and clunky to a coherent sentence, from someone struggling with a dictionary to seemingly fluent in both languages. Admittedly, it wasn't quite at the Hemingway level, but the improvement was extraordinary. Babel appeared to have returned. And this change was no accident or quirk. Google had revamped the engine underlying its translation product to take advantage of the recent advances in AI that are our focus here. Specifically, Google's translation service now relied on deep learning to supercharge prediction. Language translation from English to Japanese is about predicting the Japanese words and phrases that match the English. The missing information to be predicted is the set of Japanese words and the order in which they belong. Take data from a foreign language and predict the correct set of words in the right order in a language you know, and then you can understand another language. Do it really well, and you might not realize translation is taking place at all. Companies have wasted no time in putting this magical technology to commercial use. For example, over 500 million people in China already use a deep learning-powered service developed by iFlyTech to translate, transcribe, and communicate using natural language. Landlords use it to communicate with tenants in other languages. Hospital patients use it to communicate with robots for directions. Doctors use it to dictate a patient's medical details, and drivers use it to communicate with their vehicles. The more the AI is used, the more data it collects, the more it learns, and the better it becomes. With so many users, the AI is improving rapidly. How much better is prediction than it used to be? The changes in Google Translate illustrate how machine learning, of which deep learning is a subfield, has dramatically reduced the costs of quality-adjusted prediction. For the same cost in terms of computational capacity, Google can now provide higher quality translations. The cost of producing the same quality of prediction has dropped significantly. Innovations in prediction technology are having an impact on areas traditionally associated with forecasting, such as fraud detection. Credit card fraud detection has improved so much that credit card companies detect and address fraud before we notice anything amiss. Still, this improvement seems incremental. In the late 1990s, the leading methods caught about 80% of fraudulent transactions. These rates improved to 90 to 95% in 2000 and to 98 to 99.9% today. That last jump is a result of machine learning. The change from 98% to 99.9% has been transformational. The change from 98% to 99.9% might seem incremental, but small changes are meaningful if mistakes are costly. An improvement from 85% to 90% accuracy means that mistakes fall by one-third. An improvement from 98% to 99.9% means mistakes fall by a factor of 20. An improvement of 20 no longer seems incremental. The drop in the cost of prediction is transforming many human activities. Just as the first applications of computing applied to familiar arithmetic problems, like census tabulations and ballistics tables, many of the first applications of inexpensive prediction from machine learning apply to classic prediction problems. In addition to fraud detection, these included creditworthiness, health insurance, and inventory management. Creditworthiness involved predicting the likelihood that someone would pay back a loan. Health insurance involved predicting how much an individual would spend on medical care. Inventory management involved predicting how many items would be in a warehouse on a given day. More recently, entirely new classes of prediction problems emerged. Many were nearly impossible before the recent advances in machine intelligence technology, including object identification, language translation, and drug discovery. For example, the ImageNet Challenge is a high-profile annual contest to predict the name of an object in an image. Predicting the object in an image can be a difficult task, even for humans. The ImageNet data contains 1,000 categories of objects, including many breeds of dog and other similar images. It can be difficult to tell the difference between a Tibetan Mastiff and a Bernese Mountain Dog, or between a safe and a combination lock. Humans make mistakes around 5% of the time. Between the first year of the competition in 2010 to the final contest in 2017, prediction got much better. In 2010, the best machine predictions made mistakes in 28% of images. In 2012, the contestants used deep learning for the first time, and the error rate plunged to 16%. As Princeton professor and computer scientist Olga Rusakovsky notes, 2012 was really the year when there was a massive breakthrough in accuracy, but it was also a proof of concept for deep learning models, which had been around for decades. Rapid improvements in the algorithms continued, and a team beat the human benchmark in the competition for the first time in 2015. By 2017, the vast majority of the 38 teams did better than the human benchmark, and the best team had fewer than half as many mistakes. Machines could identify these types of images better than people. The consequences of cheap prediction. The current generation of AI is a long way from the intelligent machines of science fiction. Prediction does not get us HAL from 2001: A Space Odyssey, Skynet from The Terminator, or C-3PO from Star Wars. If modern AI is just prediction, then why is there so much fuss? The reason is because prediction is such a foundational input. You might not realize it, but predictions are everywhere. Our businesses and our personal lives are riddled with predictions. Often our predictions are hidden as inputs into decision-making. Better prediction means better information, which means better decision-making. Prediction is intelligence in the espionage sense of obtaining of useful information. Machine prediction is artificially generated useful information. Intelligence matters. Better predictions lead to better outcomes, as we illustrated with the fraud detection example. As the cost of prediction continues to fall, we are discovering its usefulness for a remarkably broad range of additional activities, and in the process, enabling all sorts of things, like machine language translation, that were previously unimaginable. Key points. Prediction is the process of filling in missing information. Prediction takes information you have, often called data, and uses it to generate information you don't have. In addition to generating information about the future, prediction can generate information about the present and the past. This happens when prediction classifies credit card transactions as fraudulent, a tumor in an image as malignant, or whether a person holding an iPhone is the owner. The impact of small improvements in prediction accuracy can be deceptive. For example, an improvement from 85% to 90% accuracy seems more than twice as large as from 98% to 99.9%, an increase of 5 percentage points compared to 2. However, the former improvement means that mistakes fall by one-third, whereas the latter means mistakes fall by a factor of 20. In some settings, mistakes falling by a factor of 20 is transformational. The seemingly mundane process of filling in missing information can make prediction machines seem magical. This has already happened as machines see, object recognition, navigate, driverless cars, and translate. 4. Why it's called intelligence. In 1956, a group of scholars met at Dartmouth College in New Hampshire to map out a research path to artificial intelligence. They wanted to see if computers could be programmed to engage in cognitive thought, things like playing games, proving mathematical theorems, and the like. They also thought carefully about what language and knowledge are so that computers could describe things. Their efforts involved attempts to give computers choices and have them choose the best one. Researchers were optimistic about the possibilities of AI. When asking for funds from the Rockefeller Foundation, they wrote, "An attempt will be made to find out how to make machines use language, form abstractions and concepts, solve kinds of problems now reserved for humans, and improve themselves. We think that a significant advance can be made in one or more of these problems if a carefully selected group of scientists work on it together for a summer." This agenda turned out to be more visionary than practical. Among other challenges, the computers of the 1950s were not fast enough to do what the scholars envisioned. After that original research statement, AI showed some early progress in translation, but it proved slow. Work on AI in very specific environments, for instance, one that bred an artificial therapist, failed to generalize. The early 1980s brought hope that engineers could carefully program expert systems to replicate skilled domains like medical diagnosis. But these were costly to develop, cumbersome, and could not address the myriad of exceptions and possibilities, leading to what became known as an AI winter. Winter, however, appears to be over. More data, Better models and enhanced computers have enabled recent developments in machine learning to improve prediction. Improvements in the collection and storage of big data have provided feedstock for new machine learning algorithms,